and welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Nick Harris, and today I'm joined by...
Neil Mashkovsky.
Yeah, you're actually a very famous person around these
Am
places.
I?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Wow. Oh, your reputation, your name is there. Some people know you as the father of IIS, given that you've worked on it for so long.
Oh, well, thank you. So I think I've been with the team that does Windows Azure websites and IIS and our hoster version for about 3 years since we started Windows Azure website. I've been in Microsoft for 10 years, but I guess I've been using IIS since probably 1999.
Yeah.
So that makes me a veteran on the technology.
Okay, wow. I think I was like maybe 16 years old back then.
Oh, yeah, me too. Right? I'm 28, by the way.
Okay. Awesome. So what are you going to show us today? There's been a few recent announcements and in the website space, of course.
Yeah, so today we're going to go through a couple of new features that came out with websites recently.
Okay.
So the Azure Websites team releases new code about every 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
A recent big release was RGA, of course, in late June. And we've released a bunch of new stuff in kind of a package about 2 weeks ago. So what I'm going to do is I'll just walk through some of my favorite new features.
Okay.
There's plenty of them out there, and you can check our forum, check MSDN to see what's out there as well. So yeah.
Okay. You wanna sounds good. It'll be good. We'll see you driving.
Yeah.
This
of course.
Thing.
So we'll start with Remote Debugger. One of the things that really differentiate us is our deep integration with Visual Studio.
Right.
Since we make .NET, we make Visual Studio. We can get away with stuff.
Okay.
So what I'll show today is the ability to actually debug live in the cloud, which is, I think...
That's pretty amazing,
cool,
really.
Yeah, for those of us who were that geeky. So we'll get going. Let me start here, get my instructions. So we'll start with the Azure portal. So basically these are my myriad amount of websites that I play with.
Okay, just a couple there?
Yeah, just a couple, 22.
Okay.
And I have a debugger sample site I put together.
Okay.
The reason I'm showing it to you guys is that in the configure tab, I have to actually declare it as a debuggable website.
Okay.
So I'm going to scroll down to our 5 zillion settings.
Yeah, well, there may be a lot,
but it's
good to have the power like at a click there, right?
Correct. So this is the remote debugging tab
that...
was introduced, like I said, about a week ago.
Right.
And as you can see, I set it up already. It's on, and I'm going to use Visual Studio 2013.
Okay.
So the next step is basically for me to publish my awesome application. And here I get an excuse because I'm not really a developer. I'm just a program manager.
Okay.
So I have this very sophisticated app that essentially has a button.
Okay.
And that button says, debug me.
Okay.
So there you go. So what we're going to do is we're going to publish it to Windows Azure website. So as you know, publishing is really easy. I'll go to the Solution Explorer, and I'll go ahead and hit publish.
Okay.
I've got all my publish settings ready. I already downloaded my publishing profile. So all I have to do is make sure in my settings that I'm actually publishing into debug mode.
So otherwise you'd have no symbols.
Correct. So obviously if this was a production site, I wouldn't want to have that there.
Right.
But if I'm in my dev process as I am now, that makes a lot of sense for me.
Even if it is a production site, there's plenty of people that accidentally or forget to publish in release mode. So it may work in production, but not recommended.
No, not really. So I'll just hit publish. We're establishing a web deploy connection to the server, and we're launched.
Okay.
So there you go. We have our website up and running.
Okay.
Our next step would be to attach the process to the debugger.
Yeah.
So basically, there's two ways to debug. I'm going to show the kind of old school way.
Okay.
But with Windows Azure SDK 2.2, if I bother to install it on my machine, I would be able to use the Server Explorer and actually debug directly from the node.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm just going to, like I said, do it. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
So do you have the Azure SDK installed at all? Or?
Not on this particular
Not on
box.
This VM.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's fine. So for anyone that's wondering what Nir's saying, in Azure SDK 2.2 recently released, if you install that, you'll be able to expand your Windows Azure node expand your websites, and then I assume right-click on the website and debug.
Correct.
To attach. Okay. Yeah. So this is the another approach.
Yeah. So my approach here is a bit, like I said, simpler. I'm just going to go debug. I'm going to attach to process.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do there is essentially, it's already ready because I've done this before.
Okay.
I put in the URL for my website. Yep. I actually don't need to put the port number that has been done already.
Okay.
And then I can see that the W3WP is the is the one that is running.
Yep.
So at this point, all I have to do is hit the attach button. And as you can see, the debugger is ready to go. I'll set up a breakpoint for our button here.
Yep.
And let's go back to our website and essentially hit the debug button.
And then
you go. The magic has happened. So
that's pretty cool. Like,
yes,
while simple, extremely powerful.
Yes. I mean, we are actually seeing a live production site being debugged. So debugging in the cloud is tough. You have many approaches. We also have live streaming in case you don't want to actually stop the code in production. But this gives you the ability to really get deep if you have a problem you can't figure out.
Yeah, and the live streaming piece, for anyone that's interested in that, we did do a little bit on that in a show quite some time ago with Boris.
Yeah.
So just look for debugging. And
we'd love to come back and show some more because there's also live streaming now into Azure Table Storage.
Okay.
So you can actually use the default ASP.NET trace provider.
All right.
And it's all hooked up for you. So every time you go trace.write or trace.info or what have you, or error, it will go either to Azure Table Storage or to Blob Storage.
Okay.
So we've got that all going on as
That's pretty cool because it means you basically use what you're familiar with.
Correct.
And it's going to go somewhere where you can go and easily see it.
If your code already uses the trace libraries, you can just upload it.
Cool.
Now I'll stop my debugger and we'll move on to kind of the next feature we wanted to show today.
Okay.
Put this away. Put away my code here. So let's go back to my website. Another kind of new thing that showed up is a bit subtle, but it's important. It's the ability to link to operational logs.
Okay.
So if some of you have noticed, there's a new button down here for management service in the Azure Management Portal. And one thing that you can see is operational logs.
Mm-hmm.
So these operational logs are essentially things I've done with my apps.
Okay.
What we've very recently done with websites is actually hook some kind of the stream of the things we've done with website to this.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if we're looking at what we've done so far today, here are all the activities that we've done. So for example, we updated this website.
Yeah.
We did all these activities. This failed recently, earlier this morning.
Okay.
When I was preparing for this demo, let's see, it should be here. When I was preparing for this demo, I created this website, the debugger website. So here it is being created.
So a full list of ops related logs, and this is basically baked in. We don't have to do anything to get this.
Nothing. This is just there. So that's really useful for you if you know you've done something you don't remember exactly when, you've made changes to your configuration and so on.
Okay.
You can take a look at what happened here.
Okay. And what kind of stats are we getting on these columns here? Type, caller, operation, status, service name.
So basically the operation is what we think was done, or the website instrumentation. Obviously when it started and it ended, the service name would be, I believe this is a kind of the internal REST API that we call. So this is actually my subscription. And you know, the path to my app.
Okay.
The type is obviously Azure website.
Yeah.
The caller, I believe, represents my subscription. Actually, not sure about that one. And then operation ID is just a unique identifier in case something went wrong. You can, when you have a support contact, you can go call support and say, "Hey, this is the operational ID."
We should probably at some point figure out what the caller means. But what would be awesome is if you had an account and I was a co-admin of that, and I did a deployment, and you know, I broke something or whatever,
so
you'd
I
be able to
you.
See
yes.
Nick yep. screwed my yep. demo.
Yes.
So
and but
so
I'll never make you my co-admin.
Yeah.
So I'm smarter yeah. than that.
Yeah. I gotta find someone else.
Yeah. So this is the next feature I wanted to show.
Okay.
Moving on, let's see what else we have today. We show the operational logs.
Yep.
We're going to show talk a little bit about PHP 5.5. So,
right.
And then a new feature that we just introduced with the Visual Studio Online.
Okay.
So essentially, as you know, we have an awesome story for PHP. We mm-hmm. have a lot of applications running PHP, and we're trying to stay current on the PHP versions.
Right.
So I'll go back to my websites here. And I'll go to my Windows Azure website, pod.php.
Right.
So this is a site that I've had there since the beginning of time, really.
Okay.
Which for us is June 2 years ago when
okay.
we launched. And it's super simple. It's essentially just, I can, let's browse it.
Okay.
It basically just calls some kind of
yep.
MySQL installation, and
yep.
it reads these two records in my table
yep.
that obviously represent my sentiments.
Yeah.
That were awesome, we win.
Yeah. At the time, it's been live for more than a week.
Yeah.
So now you said it's a couple of years.
Yeah, so yeah. you know what? That's a great opportunity
yeah.
to update this website.
Yep.
So it's time to really freshen it up.
Right.
So. We're going to go in and make a couple of changes.
Okay.
So first thing, we'll go to the configure tab, and we're going to say that it's time to put it on
okay.
PHP 5.5.
So upgrade.
And we'll hit the save button. And essentially what happens now is that the site has been updated.
Right.
Now you probably, or you at home, or at your office, don't believe me that it's really on 5.5.
Yep.
So this is an opportunity for us to show another super exciting feature that came out with Visual Studio Online, which
okay.
is a live code editor called Monaco, codename
okay.
Monaco.
So this is a quite a big announcement, really.
Yes, that was happened on November 13th.
Yep, November 13th.
So here I have this Visual Studio Online preview.
Okay.
To enable that, there was another button that I had to push over in the configure button, but,
okay.
but I've done this before.
All right.
And by hitting this guy, I'll have to use my username here, my publishing credentials.
Okay. Easy to remember password.
Yes. So those are my publishing credentials
right.
I use for web deploy and so on.
Yep.
And what we're going to see here is essentially the ability to do some quick editing online.
Yep.
So this guy is super simple. It's just an index PHP, right?
Okay.
And we can see my awesome code here. And
yep.
and so, yeah, I think we're live more than 2 years, right?
Yep.
At this point. So that's awesome. One cool thing about this is just change in
yep.
real time. So if we browse the site, we'll see the changes.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we're going to put here is, and I should have this paste in my clipboard, is,
Oops.
Let's go find it.
There we go.
Yeah. I think we can leave that in the... is just the code that will... allow us to see what the PHP
yep.
version is. So at this point, I'm all ready to look at this, and Monaco also has a run button, so
okay.
I just can control F5 and
yep.
again take this URL. I guess it's here, and we can refresh.
So what's a run button actually doing there?
I think for yeah. actually when I looked at I tried this with the .NET
yeah.
site, it launched it. I think
yeah.
here it's kind of a build process or something.
Okay.
So as we can see now, we're in PHP version 5.5,
yep.
and we're live for more
yeah.
than 2 years.
Awesome. So whilst it looks simple, that's incredibly powerful,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of engineering that's going on
Correct.
Under the hood to
yeah.
build a powerful editor or IDE in the browser,
mm-hmm.
as well as being able to just click a button
Flip.
And
yeah.
upgrade
yeah.
to
five,
a new version
five.
Of PHP.
Yeah.
How hard
yeah.
would that be to do? If to upgrade to PHP, without that button, what kind of process?
Essentially, someone
yeah.
will have to go TS login into the machine or push new new bits of PHP, like the whole installation package, and run the install and hope everything went okay and so on.
Yeah.
With Windows Azure website, since we are a platform as a service, we do the, all of that for you. We deploy all these stacks. We have, as you know, PHP, Node.js, and Python, and obviously .NET, where we make sure it's the best experience for .NET.
Okay.
I think one cool thing to look at here is beyond the, this output part is the ability to use Git. So essentially, I can use Git online in the server, and essentially I can make sure that everything I do here is also checked in and checked out. So I can completely run my project on the cloud.
That's a very important point. I even, you know, so we are actually recording on November 13th. I had a question this morning from my skip level manager, and his question was along the lines of, if I'm here programming locally on my site and I've set up, you know, Git deploy for my Windows Azure website, and I push that change up, that then deploys to my website. And then, hey, I may be on vacation, like in a foreign country, and I don't have my dev machine and I need to make a change. So you go in and you use Monaco, make the change. His question was, you know, how do I ensure that that change is, you know, under source control such that it reflects, you know, locally when I clone that back.
So this
looks like that's the answer to that.
As you can see, we just have to initialize this Git repository, and we basically now have everything in a repository on the server. You can obviously clone it back to the client, sync them, what have you.
That's extremely powerful.
Yep. I mean, I think that at least for me, being in the cloud business for a while, I'm very excited about the fact that, looking at the tools we just showed today, I can build and manage an app completely in the cloud. I don't have to have anything on the client beyond Visual Studio if I want to. So
that's very true. Yeah, you could do it from like a low end sort of just client. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So moving on to the next feature, I wanted to show WebSocket. So as you guys know, WebSocket is a great way to have real-time communication within applications. We recently enabled WebSockets on Windows Azure websites.
Excellent.
So
that's a feature a lot of people have been asking
for. Yes, that's been long coming.
A lot of work to do under the hood, though, I imagine.
Correct. Because of the architecture of Windows Azure website, where all of our hits go to a software load balancer, we had to make the software load balancer aware of your WebSocket connections and make sure we route them correctly.
Okay.
So if you look at just this site that I have here, should have this chat site that we built. Again, if I go to the configure tab, we can see that WebSockets are off.
Mm-hmm.
I'll turn them on.
Okay.
And then we'll go ahead and browse. And then, you know, let's say this is a very simple chat application. Yep. So let's say I'm myself, and I'll send a hello to you.
Uh-huh.
And then let's go and launch the same site again.
Right.
Oops. Sorry. And now I'll pretend to be you.
Okay.
And hit the send button. If we go back to my window, we can see you. So this is happening in real time using WebSockets, polling essentially or connecting to the server in real time.
Right. Okay. Very cool.
Very powerful app. Obviously, this is the lowest end.
Yeah.
Type of use for it, and it's using our SignalR framework, which is also a great technology.
Yeah, so very good for sort of scenarios where you want to notify clients of changes that are happening on the server side in
gaming,
almost near real time.
Social applications, stuff like that.
Excellent. Well, again, another very easy thing to configure.
Yes.
All these configurations, though, that we're doing in the portal, Are they externalized into web config or anything like that?
Yeah, so they're all available through scripting.
Okay.
So everything you've seen here, people can script using PowerShell or using our REST APIs directly.
Right. Okay, that makes sense actually to have it there rather than web config, because it, you know, people may build sites that run on different hosts, so it wouldn't make sense to have.
Correct. So there's different the way we try to delineate these things is that you have these global settings that are more specific to your environment in Windows Azure website.
Okay.
Those are available through the APIs.
Right.
And then you have stuff that your application used to do or is compatible with IIS apps.
Okay.
And those are available through the traditional web.config process.
Okay.
For those of you who are kind of initiated into the secrets of IIS, there's another file called applicationhost.config.
Right, yes.
Which has some
URL
settings.
URL rewrite rules, web farms.
Yeah. We made that actually available as well with this with this release. There's some more detailed documentation that's coming out, and it's kind of out of the scope of this show.
Yeah.
But
you've
essentially.
Got me interested
now. Yeah. So those of you who are interested, you can go to the. We have a GitHub repository for Project Kudu, which has this kind of our umbrella for all these kind of developer scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And in the blog there, you can see some information about that.
Okay.
And we'll have some more better blogs coming out of WindowsAzure.com soon.
Right.
But essentially, we allow you to use the XDT format, which is again our format to transfer configuration file, where people can actually go and mess with some deep level settings if they need to.
That's very cool. And do you give like full control of the application hosts to the developer? Like, can they do anything in there, or are you restricting it to certain parts?
We're trying to make it very, very close to everything.
Okay.
Obviously, there might be some things that we will not let you do because of security or the type of environment that you're living in. But we're really trying to get to a place where existing IIS applications are super easy to move to Azure websites.
And is that supported in the portal today, or it's more of a...
The applicationhost.config transformation is behind the scene. You have to upload some files.
Okay.
But one thing that, we did add in the portal is the managed pipeline mode.
Right.
So again, for those of you who understand, if you move to classic now, you can use classic ASP.NET, or I can use different IIS modules and so on.
So how much of this is picked up when I do a deployment? Like you said, and I think recently, if I now deploy PHP or Node or an MVC app to Windows Azure websites, Windows Azure websites just knows what you're using. Is the same comment true for the other settings there, like WebSockets, for instance? If I'm deploying an app, does it Windows Azure websites know WebSockets are being used and automatically turn that on?
No,
or is that I have to come
in?
No,
that
and do
one
it?
You will have to do it.
Okay.
Like I said, some things that are environmental or we want to make sure people are making the right choice for themselves, you have to enable that, but you can still script the deployment.
Okay.
So
excellent.
You can have your build environment, push the code up and then call a PowerShell that has settings, and PowerShell examples are there in our scripting center on Windows Azure.com.
Very cool. Thank you. Sorry for diverging for a bit.
We're good. I think we're almost done as far as the features. So that's about WebSockets. The last thing is exactly one of these kind of deep features.
Okay.
We had a set of requirements from users to remove some of the server headers that we emit.
Okay.
So people are complaining their app. We have some server headers that come directly from Windows Azure websites, and some apps don't expect them, or they just want to clean it up because they want to kind of customize and so on.
Okay.
So today in this release, we announced the ability to remove them.
Okay.
So you can remove the server headers in your web.config, and then you can also remove the X powered by, which tells you which web server it's running on.
Yeah.
So these settings are there. Again, there's a blog already, or there'll be a blog very soon that explains that in detail.
Yeah. So you aligned a little bit that this was more a customer request.
Correct.
What kind of scenarios are they wanting to remove these headers? Is it more for like really high throughput sites, or?
So there was a couple of issue about performance, but mostly it's about sanitation. They want to kind of Which is fair. That's why we, as a hosting platform, they want to brand their app as their own, not something weird that came from Microsoft or a non-standard platform.
Right.
So we're definitely there to try and help them.
Okay. Excellent.
And I think that's a great point to, if people don't know about it, talk about feedback.windowsazure.com.
Right.
So we have
can
this
put a link at the bottom of the show.
Yeah. So we have feedback.windowsazure.com that actually has a website section, and we actually look at it on a daily basis.
Excellent.
And for example, the request to remove the headers was like number 3 or 4 as far as customer requests. So we try to address those basically as they come in.
Yeah, so that's actually a really great thing that I see like coming out of the way we're building and evolving Windows Azure and all of its services, is that customer feedback heavily influences the prioritization of some things that we're sort of pulling in. So if there's something you want, definitely follow Nir's advice and let us know.
We really
vote to add one.
This is the fun part of being in a service environment. We do release pretty often, and we will put these things out there if it makes our customers happy.
Yep, excellent.
So I think this is kind of really mostly of what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay, last question. Can we add headers there if we wanted to?
Or as far as I know, yes. This is just the standard. You obviously can add them in your code, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you can add them inside IIS.
Excellent.
But if it's supported by IIS, it's likely supported by websites as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. And that's a lot, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. A quick show, but certainly covered a lot of great new content and capability there. So. With that, Nir, thank you very much for joining
us.
Great
to be here.
Do you have a Twitter handle if someone has like a follow-up comment or something?
It's essentially at NirMSK.
Okay.
N-I-R,
so
MSK.
Bob will put this on here for you.
That's
this
cool.
This is our favorite thing.
Yeah. And no problem. I get a lot of... I only use it for professional stuff, so you don't need to know about my hobbies and my family. So please use it and connect with me if you have any questions.
Great. Well,
cool.
Excellent. So thanks again.
Yeah.
You can reach out to Nir on that avenue or through the Windows Azure feedback.
Yep.
Or certainly leave comments at the bottom of the show, and we'll read them and we'll make sure that they're seen. So like us on Facebook, follow Cloud Cover Show on Twitter as well. So thanks very much for joining.